is low. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is His Lord, His Lord, His Lord, His Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is His Lord. He is Lord. His Lord is Lord. He is Lord. Hallelujah. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, is Lord, is my Lord, is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. God bless you. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,
Hallelujah.
We come again this morning,
Amen.
Gathering under your wings, O Lord, meeting one another as
Amen.
Brethren under the blood. Praising you for your watch over us, O Lord. Praising you for traveling mercies. Praising you for another Sunday where we can gather and think of the things that last forever, O Lord. Because anything we do, it will have an end one day. But the thing we are here for is the one that will last forever. That's why help us, O Lord, that we give full diligence. We give full submission to these things that we hear. Let it, day after day, when we hear it, O Lord, build us that new house that we are waiting for in that on the other shore, O Lord. Let it be the building blocks that will bring our house to its final stage, O Lord. Heavenly Father, take now the leadership, take control of everything that will be said and done. Let it be done for your glory. Take now control of the preaching of the word, of the singing, of the worship, of the offerings, of the Sunday schools, adults and children, one, O Lord. Let it be only for your soul glory. For in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are praying, remembering our pastor, remembering our brethren, we are still on their way coming. Let your glory be within in our midst. We pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We are so thankful to the Lord to meet once again this evening from near and far. We have people that came from Limerick, God bless you. Brother Jano, God bless you. Lead people from Carlo. Dash, God bless you. From Aklone, from all over the country, we are so thankful to the Lord for this zeal for the Word of God, because we are living in this age where the Bible says that if the days were not shortened, many will forsake. But if we are still holding on, it means that there's something building, there's something burning in you. So God bless you for this commitment, for your yielding to His will, and let really Him reward you for your efforts. Amen. So we are on our topic, talking about the church. We just keep on bringing, you know, topic after topic, just to make things clear, because we need to be taught on these things. If we don't know the principles of how the Church of God works, you know, especially in time of crisis, we'll just lose control. We don't know how to behave. Or we can bring trouble where we don't need trouble. It's just a matter of having the good teaching, know how things work, and then we can know how to behave ourselves and how to help each other. That's why we are trying to bring these things that sometimes we take for granted, but it's in time of crisis that you understand that we really needed to have distinct thoughts. Amen. So we are seeing the offices in the church. That's what we saw for the last two times I've been here. How the offices in the church operate. We were just laying a foundation on that topic last week to show that the Bible says that you have a duty to honor those who bring you the gospel. It's a biblical truth. It's a duty for you, because those who preach the gospel to you, those who hold a certain position of leadership in the church, they are watchers. They watch over your souls. They do their best to bring to your soul something that will help you make your way to heaven, you know, easier. Understand how to prepare. So the Bible says that it's your duty to, you owe them some respect, some honor. We are talking about that Shunammite woman, how the prophet showed that when the scripture, when the Jesus says about receiving a man of God as a man of God, receiving a just, receiving a prophet as a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. And you are showing the Shunammite woman that she received a prophet as a prophet, and she received the prophet's reward. If you go and examine the Shunammite woman, you'll see that she did something. When she got the revelation, she was convinced that this man is a man of God. She did something to honor the man of God. If you go and read the scripture, you'll see it was not written somewhere that she should build a room for that the man of God, because she noticed that every time the man of God was passing through the town to go and minister to a certain town and go back, and it was a long journey. Sometimes she doesn't know where they were sleeping on the streets or whatever. So she got a revelation that this is a man of God. This is a prophet of God. And I need to do something for him. She told her husband, we need to do something for this man. Let's build him a room. Let's put a candlestick in there. She made the conditions comfortable for the man of God. Why? Because she understood. She got the revelation that this is a man of God and I have to honor him. And God honored her for that. We saw how she got her reward, which was beyond what she expected, which was beyond what she did. But God will always honor you. That woman, what she did, it was not only paying tithes. It was beyond paying tithes. Amen. It went beyond, because you can say, oh, I pay my tithes. I do this, I pay my offerings. But the Shunammite woman the prophet is referring to, she went beyond paying her tithes. She did something that was not even written in the Bible. But she knew that I have to honor the man of God. Amen. So that was from last week. Today we want to see, before we start really speaking about the offices of the church, how they operate, we want to see a core principle on which Brother Branham, the prophet, insisted that every single church, message-believing church must be built upon, is the sovereignty of the local church. It's a very, very important principle. And we have to understand why the prophet insisted on that principle. That every local church is sovereign. The full, you know, this church as a church, as a local body, we don't have any headquarter above this church. We don't receive any instructions coming from somewhere. From Belfast, from London, from America, or from I don't know where. This church, as it stands, it is sovereign. No one rules above this church. It's a very important principle. That's why Brother Branham insisted many times that we are not a denomination. We are not an organization. We are a local body organized to work as a local body, but we are not receiving orders coming from somewhere. The prophet says in Hebrews chapter 7, 1957, this church is built upon the sovereignty of the local church. Therefore, I have nothing to say in moving this pastor or putting a new one. That's the prophet of the age, talking to the church that, you know, it was named after him. The church was called Branham Tabernacle. One would think that if, since it was Branham Tabernacle, he was holding, he was the sovereign, he was the king, he was the dictator. Himself speaking here, he said, I have nothing to say in moving this pastor or putting in a new one. He says, you are all the church. You all are the church. You people are the one who control. Amen? You are the one. We don't expect anyone coming from, I don't know, Canada or Martinique or whatever to come and tell us, this pastor is not suitable for you anymore. Take this one, it becomes your pastor. You have that power. Amen? The church has the power to appoint its own pastor. The Holy Church of God is the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit in that church. And the only way this pastor could ever live will be the pastor decide himself to go, or the majority of the vote of the church will have to say, change the pastor. Amen? It's the church that decides. That's the only way. No deacon board can do it. Amen. The deacon board only keeps order and things like that in church. But don't expect one day, or, you know, that's why I was saying you need to know how these things work. Because sometimes troubles come in church just because people are not taught on these things. We have seen churches where song leaders, excuse me, Brother George, song leaders have brought trouble in church because people have not been taught. A song leader will just cause havoc in the church and they cast the pastor away. Why? Because the song leader said. The deacon board will come and say, we deacons, we decide that Brother Andrew is not the pastor anymore. Why? Because we had an argument with him about, I don't know, about something else. No. No trustees. No deacons. It's you, the church, that has the authority to come and say, You can use your authority any way you want. But that authority must be under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. But I believe in the supreme authority of the local assembly. Let each church be its own. Choose its pastor, its deacon, its whatever it is. And then that way, the man in there has no bishop over him. Amen? We don't expect the day Brother Andrew will come and start telling us that there's a brother there in Singapore who is sending instructions here and we obey to those instructions, that's not the way the church of God is built. Yeah. Amen. We'll see in the coming week how the offices in the church work. Hallelujah. When the church appoints the pastor becomes the highest authority in the church. Amen. There's no one else the pastor received the instructions from. But we are talking today about the sovereignty. Even the appointed pastor, he doesn't become a dictator. You hold the power to appoint him and to sack him. Amen. There is no bishop over him. The Holy Spirit wants to speak something to that church. They don't have to ask anybody about whether they could do this or that. It is the individual in contact with the Holy Spirit. That's the sovereignty of the local church, each church in itself. Amen. We have churches that we can collaborate with. They are sisters' churches. But we don't get any instructions from them. The prophet keeps on saying, it's the sovereignty and the law. This is placing of deacons. However, at the beginning of the revival, he's speaking about how they wanted to appoint the deacons in church. I want to hold here in this tabernacle as soon as I get some rest. We'll ordain this deacon by laying on hands. Deacons and treasurers in this church. But first, they must be appointed and see how they like it and how the congregation likes it. The congregations. Amen. Then if it's all right on both sides, then we make this man ordained deacons, just like trustees are elected the same way. It is the sovereignty of and the law of the church by the word of God. Therefore, they just can't say, I think this man is the right man. Brother Neville thinks this man will be a right man, or the trustee board thinks this man would be a right man. To appoint a deacon is just is not a matter of anyone, a deacon or the pastor or whoever come and say, from today on, I decide that Brother Jesse is he becomes a deacon. No, Brother Branham says, even Brother Neville, who was the pastor at the Branham Tabernacle, he can't come and say, I decide to appoint such and such as a deacon or a trustee. He said, it has to be by the church. No one does anything within himself here. It's the vote of the church. It's a sovereign church. Amen. We need to keep these things in mind, because if we don't, someone will just start, you know, pulling you. And we've seen churches that's led by gifts, you know, especially sisters. When they got that gift of prophecies, she becomes the leader in the church. She'll stand there and say, Pastor, Pastor, sit down. And the pastor will sit. From today on, you are not the pastor anymore. That says the Lord. No. Even the prophet himself had to refer. I'll read you, you know, cases where the prophet has his own ideas, his own way of seeing things. He brought it to the church, and the church said no. He said, I had to lay my own views and go with what the church said. It's in one of the sermons here. Super Sense, I think, 1959. It is official. It's official. As long as the church, in our church, it's the sovereignty of the church. The church moves or puts in trustees. The church moves the pastor or puts in the pastor. Whatever it is, it's the church in all. That's apostolic. That's the way it was done in the Bible time. Therefore, we feel that no one person then is a dictator or something in the church. We don't want that. Amen. Every man, every person, myself, in voting in anyone, and just got one vote. Amen. When we pass something to vote, to the voting here, and we put it, the pastor brings something, we want to vote on it. He says, Brother Branham says, even himself has one vote. If the church has to decide, I have one vote, you have one vote, and we count the majority, what it decides, that's what we have to go with. Amen. He said, every man, every person in voting in anyone and just got one vote, just like any other person in of the church here, just one vote. Isn't what I say, it's what the church says. What the church says in the body. I think that's just scriptural. That's the way it should be. Amen? It's very important to understand that. Now there was a time they wanted to build, I think, yeah. There was a building program that was about to go on. You know, if you read the sermons before the opening of the seals, the church was becoming too small. People were packed and the people on the streets, and it was become just uncomfortable. And there was a discussion going on in the church that they should build a brand new church, move from the place they were and go and buy another land and build another church. Or just improve, you know, the one they had, just try to modify a few things. There was a discussion. But the prophet, Brother Branham himself, he was not buying one or another of the ideas. For him, he thought there was no point of whether building a new church or changing the old one or whatever. But there came a time where the thing became just, they had to make a decision on it. He says, it's official. As long as the church, in our church, it's the sovereignty of the church. The church, I've just read that one. So you are trying to eliminate that now by building a bigger tabernacle. And we'll have a nice place where the children sometimes, like little children crying, we are going to have a room for that so the mothers can go in, still see the service and the broadcast, right, and have Sunday school rooms and everything just lined out the way it should be. And that, if the Lord willing, takes place coming this week. He says now, you all voted 100% on it. So we've held right to that. The church is sovereign. What the church says, that's what. Trustees or nobody else. The trustee is just, each one has one vote. The pastor is just one vote. It's the democracy of the church. The sovereignty of the church. And we like that because we have no bishops or hierarchies or overseers or so forth to tell us this, that, or the other. It's the Holy Spirit in the church. That's the speaking. Now he says, and I asked, do you all want to wait till we got enough to move the tabernacle away and build a bigger church? It was a vote now put before the church. That was on the trustee board, and that it could not be settled by the trustees. And then they asked me, as the general overseer, to come and ask the church. So I said, Now we have enough money to increase the size of the church and fix it in all different. And everything that we had, I said, now we can do it right away or save our money till we get enough to put the complete church up, new someplace else. And we took a vote on it in the church. And it was unanimously voted for the put the church up right now. And it's just built, a bigger church right now. Here we are. And we have stayed right with that. So though there was people, some thinking this way, some think that way, but when he brought the case to the church said, no way of going to buy another place. Let's build it here. We stayed by that. The church decided so. In the next quote, he's speaking about his opinion. Frankly, myself, when they spoke of a new tabernacle, to me, I was against the thought. That's right. I said, we don't need exactly a new tabernacle. I'll be probably be living here pretty soon. If it what he showed me come to pass, what do we need with a new tabernacle? We haven't got the money. That was his view. He was not really keen with the idea of building a new tabernacle. But now he says, then I came down and felt the feeling of the church. That the church in the majority seemed to want it. Then why did I do? I sacrificed my own thoughts and throw it with the church. Amen. Him, the prophet, he had a different opinion. There was no way for him. That money, we could use it for something else. But he came and asked the church. The church said, we want the church. He said, I sacrificed my own thoughts and threw it with the church. That's the way we cast lots. That's the way it was in Bible time, the way the church voted. The sovereignty, the group of the people, they come together in unity, there in strength. I said, certainly it has the way of the church wants it. If that's what God is wanting. He's got more of authority to vote among a whole group of people than he has to me. Because I have no vision to say that it shouldn't be. As a prophet, he didn't receive any vision. And since there was no vision, he had to abide by what the church said. So we threw in with the church and moved with the church. And I am behind it to do all that I can see to help out the church. That should be the motive of every Christian, and he carries on. So it's a very important principle in a way that we are an independent church. We are a sovereign church. We have no archbishop somewhere that sends us instructions. That's one angle. And on the other angle, as a local church, no one can stand and start giving you instructions here or ruling the church as a sovereign authority above the church. Don't get it mixed up, because we'll see the office of the pastor. When you appoint a pastor, you decide that as a church, we have appointed brother so-and-so as our pastor. You give now authority to that man to lead you now according to what the Holy Spirit will inspire him to do. As long as he has your vote, he becomes now the higher authority in church. But if you find that this man start leading us in a way that we didn't agree with, you have the authority to come. We appointed you. Now we decide to sack you. Let's get it right. Amen. Let's keep it balanced. When you agree that this is our pastor, you have to abide by his leadership until the day you decide that he's not worthy to be our pastor anymore. Amen. That's the principle of the sovereignty of the church. And we need to keep it really in mind because many churches, we have seen many churches getting in trouble because they didn't know these principles. We have people that sit in big cities and they are just, you know, sending orders. You there. You know, a church in a town, in a city somewhere, he just sends someone to come and, you know, remove the pastor and send someone from his own family to be the pastor there. And people accept that. Send his friend or whatever. No, it's the vote of the church. If you decide, Brother Branham goes even far to say, if this church decides that Brother Neville, if the church agree that Brother Neville should teach them the Jehovah Witnesses teachings, and the church is happy, let it be. It's you, the church, who have the authority to accept or to reject. Amen. Let's keep it like that. And from the coming sermons, teaching, so we'll see the offices of the pastor, the offices of the deacons. What are they? How do they operate? How must they operate? How do you bring a complaint? Because we've seen people just bringing accusations against the pastor. You know, baseless. Politics in church. Things will just start like that. They will just want to remove the pastor. They are not happy because the pastor is preaching something they are not happy with. They just start fabricate something against the pastor and overthrow the pastor. We'll see there are rules, ways things must be done. You can't just bring an accusation against the pastor and have the pastor removed. No. The prophet set all these things in order. The deacons, how to complain against a deacon, how to appoint a deacon, how all these things, we need to have them. We need to understand how it works. Otherwise, you may end up one day in trouble. You know, how to settle issues between brethren. Because these small things, if we don't understand how it works, it will just bring one day the whole body to a stop. That's very important for us to understand. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Now take all that has been said, O Lord. Anything that came from our own thoughts, Heavenly Father, there's nothing good that can come from a human. It's only your Holy Spirit. So if there was something of our own mixed to your inspiration, make it clear into your children's mind and let it become a word of life. Let this church grow in knowledge, in wisdom, in number, in everything, O Lord, and let it be really a heaven of rest for your people. Anytime we come, let us find peace and answer to our problems, O Lord. We are praying for the peace of this church, that because it's here that we come to get our manna, to get the bread of life for our preparation for eternal life. Let it be really in peace and let it be kept in order. Let us support each other and let it really serve the purpose you established it for. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.